ngicela uhambe uyofuna umsebenzi.
Uzoyithola kanjani hlelo khoneni?
Yonke into, impahla, imali.
This adulting thing, hey.
Uhamba imali?
Wizi ngakayithoka chele.
Awuna moto? Imali. Fanele kube nemali phakathi.
Sebenza.
Yaba mntanam.
Sebenza.
Welcome back to another episode of Sebenza Lives Behind the Hustle. I am flying solo today. Yes, it's Tango with Antokozo M, but we are not going to let you guys down. We are joined by a very interesting person from a very interesting career. And he's laughing at me as I say this. Ulwazi, how are you?
I'm okay, thanks. How are you doing?
I'm good. Now, for those who might not know who you are, please tell us who is Ulwazi and what does he do?
I am a public relations practitioner.
Mm-hmm.
I am 33, going 34 years old. Birthday in December. That's really important.
Still young. That 34 is far away.
No, what I like about it is that I don't look the part.
Mm.
I look younger. That's what I mean.
Mm-hmm.
Even if I say so myself. So I've been working in the industry for this. In June is going to be my 10th year. I trained as a journalist, right?
Mm.
I studied and graduated as a journalist in East London, Walter Sisulu University, and then worked as a journalist for 2 years, and I sucked at it. And then I crossed over.
What
to public
is
relations.
To suck in journalism?
because I loved writing, right? And I think that's part of the reason I joined. Look, it is my second option from being a lawyer and stuff. I didn't qualify for that. And then I chose the second option, which wasn't nice. I was good at writing. I still am good at writing, right? And we tend to assume that for you to become a good journalist, you need to be a good writer, you know? And now that I've actually been in the industry for so many times, for so many years, you get the understanding of so many facets of each industry, actually. It's more than just writing, you know? And then also I walked in understanding, thinking that, yes, I was good at writing, therefore I can work for True Love Magazine, for Sunday Times and Business Report, you know? I didn't understand that there's a skill behind each one of these kind of things, you know, and I didn't know that, you know. And unfortunately for me, I got to learn that the hard way and in the industry. And again, which was sad, was the fact that I didn't have a starting point where there were people professionally who were there to train or help me get a sense of what I need to do writing-wise, you know. But with that said, I wasn't good at it. And everyone around me knew at work, even my editors knew this, because when my contract second time around expired, she kept on giving me these business cards for public relations agencies to give them a call. And I did. And I got the job. And that was the beginning of a great thing.
Now, I mean, you were able to see after quite a while that, okay, journalism isn't for me. Now, what is it about public relations and communication that really spoke to you?
Oh, I love the fact that I've been fortunate enough that I found an industry, or it found me, an industry that speaks to my personality as well, right? I love dealing and working with people from different walks of life, right? And this is what this industry, public relations industry, has actually afforded me, you know. And again, I was blessed enough to have worked on different types of environments and professional environments. I mean, from public affairs to lifestyle now to banking to mining, you know. So in that, with that, it comes with different types of people that you deal with, you know, really owned and mature people and experienced people to musicians who are talented in their own rights, actors and actresses, you know, people who are creative in creative arts. And it's quite amazing, you know. So it got to teach me a lot about the kind of person I am in terms of dealing with Abantu, and it speaks a lot to my personality, and I don't know how else to explain it. And also what's important is the fact that all these things that I thought I loved and that made me go to journalism, I found them in public relations. The writing is here, you know, and then the dealing with people is actually here, you know. And it's fun, not necessarily glamorous as everyone thinks and makes it out to be, but I enjoy it.
Let's jump into that. What is the unglamorous side of your
the
job?
The admin, my goodness. It's too much. It is too much. we invite you guys to events, and when you bump into us at the main entrance, you walk in and you see the decor, you see us smiling and sometimes looking good and happy, and you walk and you actually experience a really, really nice event, you know, and you walk out having loved the event or didn't like it, but at the end of the day, you look at it and you see a complete package. But I can tell you now, the month or weeks before that and the weeks after that are the most challenging part of my job, you know, getting ready to, from creating an actual concept of what the event should look like. Because you get clients sometimes who just tell you, okay, listen, we are launching a new, I don't know, label or something where a new artist is coming out and whatnot, you know, and I want this hip-hop artist to be featured on the business day. It is my job then to educate this client that business day and hip hop of this kind.
Don't exactly mix.
You know, and then for me to convince them, I need to come up with a creative concept to say, listen, this is what you want out of this person. And then this is what I believe would actually work. And obviously, this is based on my experience having worked with other artists, if I'm coming from that background, right? Mm. So me convincing the client that launching a hip-hop artist on business day is not going to work has to be met with a creative idea that I'm selling the client. That on its own is admin. It doesn't just come. It doesn't just come randomly. You know, there's thinking around it, there's strategic planning around it, you know, and obviously all of this has to be aligned with that particular brand, you know. And that takes so much, you know, and that takes so much research, reading sometimes and watching so many things that you don't necessarily enjoy, but you get to like as and when you go, right? That takes so much work. Getting the approvals and inviting the media. Oh my goodness. Sometimes it's going to be exciting if they like that type of content, but sometimes it's not necessarily going to be something they enjoy. But you know for a fact that it takes them, they need to get there to actually get an understanding of what that event will look like and whether or not it will fit into their content, you know. So the element of I'm trying to convince you as the media guys to come, you will enjoy it, and yet at the same time I don't have enough compelling evidence to say this is what you will experience there. That on its own is too much work, you know. And then so now it's managing the media, it's managing the client's expectation, it's managing my boss's expectations, you know, which is a lot, you know. And then you get this full package, which is nice. And yes, we will all enjoy, even on the day of the event, at the event itself, you won't necessarily enjoy it, but because you're managing these exact same stakeholders as well and making sure that everyone is fine, everyone is happy. And people always say, I come across as if I'm panicking. It's actually generally who I am. I don't panic, but I just let them
be. Is that one of the qualities you'd say that are really key to being a great person in PR?
Paying attention, I would say, is everything. You know, paying attention to the people around you and listening, you know, and obviously following all the trends there is to know, you know. Not necessarily in your own space. If you are in lifestyle, you don't necessarily have to box yourself within that. Just read and pay attention to everything that is trending, you know, at the time, because you might never know what's coming down the line for your campaigns or what you might actually have to tap into creative-wise, you know. So you just need to open up yourself to that, you know. And that's really, really what I think has kept me and many other people who work in the industry good at what they do, you know. So you just need to put your ear on the ground and make sure that you are always alert, and reading is everything. And you don't necessarily have to read the Tiso Black Star newspapers and publications. You need to tap away around that so that you know, okay, fine. And also getting an understanding, this is an important one for me, an understanding of why, for instance, can I not feature a launch of a cup on business day, you know, and why do I need to use Soweten or SMAG, you know what I mean? And for me to understand that, it means I have to get a good relationship skin with you as a writer of that publication, because it will give me much more better insight. And then obviously understanding the type of content that you guys go for, you know, generally, you know, and that's what Spoon feeds, the type of content that you send out there, you know. So just being curious, I guess, feeds so much into a skillful professional in PR. I think, there's so many other things that I can't think of now.
I can see like there's this river flowing right out of, like, there's so much that goes into this.
Yes, you know.
But we laughed about something earlier on, about how the relationship between you guys and media. What is that like? What is the contention? When it's not contentious, what keeps it flowing well?
Look, I
deep sigh that wants to come out of that one.
You meet, it's a relationship that needs to happen, right? And you've got journalists who understand exactly where we come in, you know, as PR practitioners, right? We're not necessarily, I don't want to use the word gatekeepers, but I mean, excuse me, we operate as gatekeepers between between you as the media and the clients, right? You've got media who understand that, and then you've got media who actually get annoyed by that for the right reasons. Because you've got agencies who are aggressive in their approach, PR agencies, right? I don't think it's not knowing what to do. I think it's the pressure sometimes they get from the clients. I mean, if a client says, it's been this period of time and I've not received any coverage, what is the problem, you know? And I want to see this in these publications. Why am I not getting that type of coverage, you know? Now, because some people don't have really good relationships or they don't enjoy their job or whatever reason, they are really, really struggling to get in there. You know what I mean? Now you find them coming across like sales people to journalists. The problem there, I don't think people mind getting a sales call, but they mind getting a sales call during deadline. Now, if you don't know the deadlines for a specific publication and you're calling them at any time, it is annoying. And then it becomes that, oh, Ulwazi kind of situation. Oh, I'm getting a call from Ulwazi. Then they put me on their spam boxes. Or whenever my call comes in, it's screened, but do not accept because they don't know what they're doing. Or their clients say, oh, when you meet that one journalist who's willing to give you a chance, and then the next thing you get disappointed by a client who's never available, who doesn't give good interviews, as in, who wants to be featured but doesn't give the content they promised to give. Kind of thing. So those kind of nuances, do you know what I mean? They actually get really, really annoying, I think, for the media guys, right? And also inviting people to the wrong events and just not knowing your media. So there's just so many dynamics in there. So which has led us to a space where people, from what I've picked up, don't like journalists, don't like PR people, you know, specifically the business journalist, right? They just, if you are in PR, they're just, oh my goodness, here they come, you know, we're always smiley and then they really never see our use essentially. But I think in some aspects, lifestyle and media kind of understand where we come in, you know, because in many cases, or at least in my experiences, we've helped so much in terms of getting them the type of content they want, because my client might not necessarily understand what needs to be featured or what can be featured on Sowetan, but I understand it. And it's my job then to feedback to them, to say, listen, this is not going to work for them. And now, because I've got a good relationship with some of the media guys, they know for a fact that if I say I need you to speak to someone in this lifestyle space, they know I won't bring you into that space if that won't work for you. Then it becomes a question of, will they give me the type of content I want that my readers would want to tap into, you know? So there's those kind of back and forth. And then, one of the things we're talking about earlier is the fact that because, I mean, we're human at the end of the day, you know. I go through a lot of things with my employer and my clients sometimes. Yeah. You might not catch me at the right time on a Wednesday, for instance, you know. But like I was saying, PR people, we hardly say, today is not the day, do not mess with me. I am forced to actually be nice and give you what you want or fight to actually get you what you want. But now when the roles are switched and you are going through the most, you can actually tell me off at any given time. And I will take that, right? But now, if the next second you decide to come back to me and ask me for something, I can't go back to you and say, no, I'm still actually upset over you. There's no room for feelings for us. Yeah. Whereas for you guys, we can actually just allow that, you know, for that to happen. Like I was saying to you earlier, that my colleagues and I were talking about it early this morning, this thing of you, sometimes we make mistakes. Right. I mean, with all these things that are happening in the journalism space right now with the media groups, right? So now you are concerned because you and I have formed not necessarily a personal relationship, but I mean, I care to know, okay, fine, how are you feeling today based on whatever is happening in your space, you know? Because I need to know, can I talk about work? Can I not talk about work kind of situation, you know? And then when I'm asking you, how are you doing? And then you switch me off like that. Then I don't know. Oh, okay. But now, something happens from your end where you are told to actually go back to me and ask for something. You can be nice or pretend to be nice. I will take it. And I won't ask you because the fear, I think, is that if I ask you and then it becomes a thing, my client, my employer is actually ruined. And then the relationship with my client as well is actually messed up, you know. So you guys are allowed to get personal with us, but we are not allowed to get personal with you. Not that we're supposed to be personal with
each other. So an invisible barrier around it.
Yes, you know what I mean? So I think it's just a matter of respect all around, you know. One of the things, look, and at the same time, we've learned so much. One of the things that Emmanuel likes to say, because we sometimes can overstep. When you're pitching a story to someone, then they're like, oh, you know what, send me the press release, and then you send it to them. But now what you do is you say, okay, listen, these are the points you can focus on. So essentially I'm telling you what to do in your job, right? Emmanuel doesn't like that.
This is Emmanuel Chi, one of our writers.
Emmanuel is like, I said press release, don't tell me which angles I should approach. It is my, I know what I want. Just give me the content I need. So you telling me what to do is just actually just annoying, because you can imagine you've got so much pressure as well from your end or from your bosses, where they tell you, okay, fine, this is the angle we're going for. And then there's always telling you, nope, don't go with that. Here's a story that will sell, you know. So it's just small things that just need us to be patient with each other and a level of understanding. And as much as we read and study so much more about the media landscape, and hopefully we can get the journalists to actually just understand as well that sometimes we don't just decide to, I want to do this with. So clients are demanding. They want what they want when they want it, you know. I mean, the one time we were told by a client that we have not been featured on a specific platform. Why is that? And we told them, they declined because this type of content does not speak to the audience. And then they were like, we want that decline in writing.
Now, I'm getting a sense that that's one of the most common problems with clients. They don't quite understand what kind of publications best work for them. What other issues do you usually find with clients?
That being one of them. And sometimes it gets really, for me personally, it really, really gets frustrating, especially when your client is someone who used to be a journalist. It really, really baffles me. Like, you know how this thing works. So how do you now not know that you can't, you know what I mean? And so that, and when our job essentially is to be trusted advisors to our clients, right? So it really gets tricky when you then provide counsel to client and then they blatantly just refuse it. And they come back with an alternative, which you know for a fact won't work. You know, but I mean, look, a support structure within our teams in general, I think from an agency perspective, works so well, because if I struggle and if I don't win with my, as an account manager, with a client, then I start tapping internally to say, my team, okay, listen, this is the challenge I've got. Is it perhaps the way I speak to them that doesn't make sense to them and whatnot? Then the more you go up the ranks to see, then sometimes an issue of, for instance, personally, one of my weakest points is that I take forever to get to the point, right? Because I think it's the English language. But sometimes I think because of that, some people really lose the interest or understanding of what I'm saying. Okay. So then if I tap into my colleagues to say, okay, guys, this is a challenge I've got. How can I help and whatnot? And then if someone says the exact same thing to the exact same client, then they understand it and then they agree with it. Do you know what I mean? So understanding ourselves from a peer perspective and where we fall short is a beautiful one before we actually blame the clients, you know. But it really gets frustrating when the client doesn't want to accept that the media landscape has changed, you know. I mean, the if you look at the media landscape now, I think back to 5 or even 10 years ago, it's not, newsrooms are not as packed as they used to be. Now you find one journalist actually doing 3 different bits, whereas we come from a school of Tango is an education reporter. This one is actually a lifestyle. Nope, you find people actually just doing a large number of things. And it is my job from a PR perspective to know that. And once I know that, I go back to the client and say, okay, listen, this is what has happened. Now they've changed. The structure has changed. And therefore, this means we need to be really, really, really careful.
Yeah.
Which speaks again to this entire concept of press conferences. You can't launch everything. Doesn't necessarily mean physical presence.
Yeah.
You can launch something without having 20 media there. You know, it just
some antiquated thinking behind how to really get out there and get your stuff out.
Yes, I mean, you can come up with a really, really nice idea. I mean, one of the things my team likes to pitch to clients when they talk about, okay, we've got this, we need to launch, and then we say, okay, you know what? How about for a change, we actually change things around? We always invite the media to come to us. How about we actually get this information to them? You know what I mean? So we've got this talent, as opposed to actually taking you to Westcliff to meet this artist or whatever this client. How about we bring them to you to say, all we need for you, if you're interested in them, because it's time off your desk when, because you're not only working on my story, you're working on a number of other stories as well. But now I'm considerate of that. I'm just going to bring my talent to you. So you've got your 5 minutes with them. And then I move from here to actually go to another media company, you know, that on its own will have the exact same impact, if not more, than actually just inviting media physically to be there. Do you know what I mean? And also when they are there, there's so much you need to do for them that you didn't need to do, creating an experience for them, because it's actually annoying to actually leave your desk for 2 hours only to be there. My clients are late, and then the content that's delivered is even that boring. Do you know what I mean? So it's that, it's just trying to get clients in the same wavelength of thinking and understanding that the media landscape is not the same as it used to be back in the day, you know. But it's a challenge, but one I think eventually we will overcome.
How are some of the changes?
My goodness, I feel like I'm talking a lot.
That's why you're a guest today. But how are some of the changes that you're facing in sort of the communications or PR side? Is it changing as much as our side is changing? Is it for the better?
It's changing. I'd like to think for the better. When I started, I mean, 10 years ago, my goodness, I used to scan newspapers to actually create reports, for coverage reports after a campaign or an event for a client, right? Now we've got media monitoring services that actually just sends you. So when you write an article about my client, if we pay for those services, then I don't need to do that thing called calling up, say, okay, I saw the article, can you please send me a PDF? I mean, automatically gets sent to us as and when people actually pick up their newspapers in the mornings, which is quite nice. That's something that, I mean, that's happened, I mean, over the past few years, which is quite nice. But now there's a digital wave that's actually coming that we need to buy into, you know, the digital wave, which actually taps into the influencer marketing element of it as well, you know. So those are some of the changes I think that are happening that we need to adapt to and not just ignore. My boss, Jeremy Breyer, likes to say, you need to identify who your audience is for every campaign you're actually working on. And then once you've identified that, find out where do they spend most of their time and then target that for your communication. Don't just do an umbrella approach for anything.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So the digital element of it comes in there, and then the influencer campaign comes in there, which is quite nice. But I mean, it can be tricky again if you don't know what you're doing. If you're just doing it for the sake of the industry is changing and therefore I need to change it, you need to equip and educate yourself so much more as well, you know. So in comparison to the journalism space, I would think for us it's the landscape, yes, is changing, but I think for us it's changing for the better. The negative element of it is agencies or individuals who just tap into it not knowing or what to do, and then just pretending like they know, and then which is a mess for them as agencies and professionals, and for their clients, the clients that they actually service. So yeah.
Now, what words of wisdom would you give to a young Ulwazi out there who's probably listening and thinking, oh, this is definitely a career for me. I want to go into this. I'm not feeling what I'm doing here, and this is really speaking to me.
You should have studied that law. You should have studied the law. Oh, my goodness. No, I'm joking. My goodness. I just wish I didn't have good experiences growing up, understanding, I mean, not necessarily personally, but I mean, in school, I mean, all the way to varsity, you know. I don't want to say there's anything I would ever change about that. You know, it was painful. It was really, really painful all the way until I started working. So, and that has made me the kind of person that I am now, you know. I mean, sometimes I sit in a room with people that make me feel really, really insecure in the way they speak, in the way they look, you know. And then come implementation time, I still am better than them.
Kicking some serious ass.
You know, and I sit there and like, you know what, okay. So I was good. Yes, I think every experience that I went through made me the kind of person that I am, you know. There's just so much for me to do now that I'm actually older and mature, you know, in terms of actually equipping myself even more professionally, so that I make sure that I stay on top of the ball and make sure that I keep up becoming better and better every day. Because also with age and with times going on, there's a new wave that's coming right behind me kind of situation, you know. So I need to understand that. I always refer to myself as a bridging generation, you know. Because I'm well aware of what happened way ahead of me, but I'm not that much aware of what's happening behind me. And it's a really, really influential wave, you know. So I need to keep in touch with that, you know. So I think just keeping on being dedicated and ambitious and grounded, you know. So I think I would say that to my younger self, and I'd say that to myself now.
Dedicated, ambitious, and grounded. I love that. Ulwazi, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you guys for having me here.
I really enjoyed that.
It was, it's like what I was saying. Like, I avoid
interviews.
Yeah, because I don't know what to, I know what it means. What it means to actually brief someone and then yeah. deliver a good interview, yeah. you know, and how to guide them. But when it comes to me, I mean, I can tell you now. When I'm listening to this, it's messy. And I'm sure my colleagues are going to have fun
teasing you about it.
Yeah.
Oh, they'll love it. Those haters, they'll love it. Thanks again, Ulwazi.
Yeah, thank you so much, Chang. I really appreciate this.